Now, our feature presentation.
This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. The 2008 financial crisis sank Americans into the most serious economic disaster since the Great Depression. Wall Street got greedy and took us all down with it when it collapsed. But there's another story about New York and the crisis that you might have read in a magazine years ago about a group of strippers who got a little revenge on Wall Street.
These Wall Street guys. You see what they did to this country? They stole from everybody. Hardworking people lost everything. And not one of these bags went to jail.
The game is rigged, and it does not reward people who play by the rules.
It's like robbing a bank, except you get the keys. Are you in?
That's the subject of a new film called Hustlers. It came out on Friday, and it's based on a 2015 article from New York Magazine. What does this true story teach us about capitalism, sex work, and revenge? And does the film do the real story justice? Joining us for this meeting of the 1A Movie Club is our Vice President, John Horn, the host of The Frame, a daily arts and entertainment program on KPCC Public Radio in Los Angeles. Mr. Vice President, welcome back to the club.
Happy to be with you.
Also joining us from KPCC is Beyondria July, who's a freelance culture writer and film critic based in L.A. Beyondria, welcome to 1A.
Thanks for having me.
And in Orange County, California, is Siobhan Brooks, a professor of African American Studies at Cal State Fullerton. She's also the author of Unequal Desires, Race and Erotic Capital in the Stripping Industry. Professor Brooks, glad to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
We welcome your reviews of Hustlers. How many stars out of five would you give it and why? We're taking your calls and voicemails at 855-236-1A1A. That's 855-236-1212. You can email us 1A@WAMU.org. Comment on our Facebook page. Tweet us at 1A. And as always, fair warning, we will be reviewing Hustlers, spoilers and all. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, but you want to, you may want to listen to this hour after you've seen it. You'll find it in its entirety later at the1a.org. All right, first order of business, let's get everybody's review of the movie, starting with you, John. How many stars out of five would you give Hustlers and why?
I'm going to give it 4 stars. I know I can't do fractions, but
You may not do fractions.
I'm going to do a very positive 4 stars. I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was faithful to the article. I went back and reread the story, and I thought it didn't glamorize what anybody involved in the story did. The headline on the New York Magazine article was, "Here's a modern-day Robin Hood story." This is not a Robin Hood story. It's a Goodfellas story. And I thought it was very fair to the actual spirit of the story. And I thought it presented these women and their story very fairly.
That was exactly, I'm so glad you said Goodfellas, because like 15 minutes through the movie, I was like, oh my God, this is my favorite movie ever, just with strippers. I love this movie even more. I felt Goodfellas through the entire movie, for better or worse. Beyondria July, how many stars out of five and why?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to give it 5 stars. I want to give it like 4.5, but I
can't
get the no fractions rule. Yeah, because it feels like a real game changer for me. You know, it's a great addition to the films about the 2008 economic crisis. And beyond that, it's just shot in a way that's almost unfamiliar in film from the women's point of view. And it also doesn't it just accepts the work that they're doing as valid work without even getting into any kind of, you know, judgment of them being strippers and sex workers. And it's just very entertaining and thought-provoking at the same time, which also feels like something that doesn't happen a lot. I've seen it now with 2 different audiences in the theater, and both times it was just a riotous reaction. And it got even better for me the second time, so...
Professor Brooks, what about you? How many stars out of five and why?
I would also give it 4 stars. I think it really adds to the genre of stripper movies. I think it's probably one of the better ones out there. I also like the way it was filmed. Like in the beginning, you really felt like you were almost watching old footage or a documentary. From my memory, it seemed like it was a little grainy with the dressing room scenes. I liked that. I felt like it could be probably split into two different movies. Like, I feel like there's sort of a different narrative pre the crime, if you will, when we really get to see some of the interiors of the dancer's life. And then I feel like, you know, it could have easily been like a different kind of film at the end with the, sort of with the crime and sort of what happens after that. And I felt that the film did touch on a lot of important issues affecting strippers. And also I felt it could be challenged a little bit to kind of address some of the stereotypes that I felt it was actually trying to refute, but I wasn't always sure if it was successful at doing so.
I want to get into that, Professor, a little bit more as our conversation continues. But John, let me start with you. You mentioned that the story is based, as you said, it, as you saw it kind of faithfully on this piece from 2015 called The Hustlers at Scores by Jessica Pressler from New York Magazine. Lay out the basic story for us, John.
I mean, this is a story about what these women did, and it's also a story about unreliable narrators, about who did what and whether or not what they actually did was true. But the details of the crime are pretty consistent from the story to the movie, and it's basically about a group of women who decided that they had this plan, which was to drug men, and they used a combination of drugs, one to make them forget and one to make them relax. And they would take them to strip clubs, and working in cahoots with the strip clubs would run their credit cards to fantastic levels. I mean, there's one true story of a doctor whose credit card was charged $135,000. So these guys, they're all guys, are basically out of it. They go to these clubs with these women and they're signing their life away, basically. And the women are taking some of the money and they're splitting it with some of the people at the club who are helping them. And that's the story of the magazine article. And that's really, I think, the story of the film, although we get a lot more in the film about what they're doing away from the club, a little bit more about their backstory, but it doesn't feel like there are whole parts that are invented. And the other thing that the movie doesn't do is it doesn't really change the moral compass of the article. The article doesn't depict these women as heroes. It depicts them as people who, you know, were running a criminal enterprise, and that the men who were victimized by them were victimized by them.
What's the critical reception been like so far, John? The box office numbers, as I understand it, were great. It debuted in second place behind It Chapter 2, which dropped a little bit from its debut a week ago, but it made the most money on average per screen of any film this weekend by quite a bit. It seems like it performed way better than many people expected, but what about the reception of the film itself?
The reception has been really good. And it's not just critics, it's audiences. And if you look at the numbers of the people who showed up, the audience was generally older women, but it was also incredibly diverse, African-Americans, Latinos, Asians. It was a broad spectrum of people. And I think they were really driven not just by Jennifer Lopez, who is amazing in a starring role, but by the critical response. And the other thing that's worth noting about this film is that it opened to $33 million 2 years ago. The company that was making it, Annapurna, which is Megan Ellison's company, shut it down. They were running out of money. So this is a movie that, were it not for STX Entertainment, wouldn't have probably been made. So the story of the movie getting made is almost as amazing as the story of its success right now.
It's also, John, kind of a, I mean, one of the actresses who stood out for me. First of all, the fact that most of the lead actresses are women of color, number one. And secondly, that Constance Wu is one of the leads, and she's a starring actress in another one of these uniquely diverse Hollywood films that also did better than many people expected.
Yeah, and that part actually had been cast with a white actress in an earlier iteration, but in the story, that character is Asian. And again, I mean, we should talk about Lizzo, too. I mean, Lizzo, the amazing singer, has a small part in it. And we will probably get into this as well. These are women who have all different kinds of body types. And as Beandria said earlier, the camera does not leer over their bodies.
Siobhan, or Professor Brooks, I understand that you are a former dancer in the industry. You currently research sex workers. For the sake of this conversation, I want to make sure that we're sensitive about terminology in terms of stripper versus dancer versus sex worker, et cetera. Can you just, Professor, just give us a little guidance on the way we use those words?
Sure. And I think that's an excellent question. You know, I think that stripper, which is what we saw, right, in Hustlers, it implies that there's like a performance, that there's a woman on stage, there's a pole, and that, you know, you're dancing to about 6 minutes of music. And so at each song, you take a little bit more off. Like, that's sort of the striptease. So the term stripper is derived from that kind of performance. It's usually interchanged with exotic dancer. However, exotic dancer, which is sort of what I would have classified myself, doesn't necessarily have to be on stage, doesn't necessarily have to be having contact with customers, just more sort of the dancing part. And I think sex worker is more of a political term that's just used in the industry to kind of connote solidarity around various worker issues. But not everyone kind of classifies themselves as a sex worker. And we know that, you know, most people are thinking prostitution links all these things, which is not true. So I would say those are the differences with those three terminologies.
I want to get to some of your reviews as we continue our conversation. Wealthy Chelsea tweeted, "I thoroughly enjoyed Hustlers. It had some rollicking fun sequences, but what stuck with me the most were the close-ups during the grittier, dare I say, heartfelt moments. 4 stars. And Mike wrote on our Facebook page, "Jennifer Lopez and Constance Wu give 5-star performances in a 2-star movie. The story was not told well. This was more about the relationship between the lead characters than anything else." We'll play a clip from one of the scenes where that relationship gets established. As we continue with KPCC's John Horn, culture writer and film critic Beyondria July, and Professor Siobhan Brooks of Cal State Fullerton, I'm Joshua Johnson, glad to be with you, and you're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR. I got bands in the coop, bussin' out the roof. I got bands in the coop, bussin' out the roof. This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. We are reviewing the movie Hustlers for the 1A Movie Club with John Horn, the host of The Frame on KPCC Public Radio in Los Angeles, freelance culture writer and film critic Beyondria July, and Professor Siobhan Brooks of Cal State Fullerton, and the author of Unequal Desires, Race and Erotic Capital in the Stripping Industry. We'd love to hear from you. If you have seen Hustlers, how many stars out of 5 would you give the movie and why? Do give us a call, 855-236-1A. 1A. That's 855-236-1212. Comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A. And again, we will be reviewing this movie, spoilers and all. We will have spoilers. Did I mention we're going to have spoilers? So, if you haven't seen the movie yet, but you want to, you should listen to this conversation later at the1a.org. Several of you did leave us some of your reviews of Hustlers over the weekend. Here is one message that a listener left through our app, 1A Vox Pop.
This is David from Arlington. My partner and I saw Hustlers this weekend. Together, we would give it about 4.5 stars based on the very strong performances by the two central female characters and the story of their relationship and the ups and downs of it we found very compelling. I would give it a little fewer stars because I actually thought the depictions of the strip bars were, if anything, tamer than some strip bars I've been unfortunate enough to have been in a prior life.
David, thank you for your review. You may or may not know that we do not allow fractional scores, and so your membership in the 1A Movie Club is suspended until further notice. We will put your application back to Mr. Horn, and we'll see if he shows more mercy on you than I do. But let's get to the phones and see some of your reviews. 855-236-1A1A. In Philadelphia, Alex is on the line. Hey, Alex, what did you think of Hustlers? How many stars out of 5 and why?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think I would give it a 3. I loved particularly J-Lo's performance, but I thought that the narrative kind of lagged insofar as I was really disturbed by the whole drugging thing. And perhaps that's a crude way to take away stars, but I didn't think that the movie did a good enough job of sort of looking at how kind of depraved the whole operation was.
What was it about J-Lo's performance, Alex, that resonated with you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, my exposure to J-Lo as an actress is, you know, just sort of the rom-com thing. So I didn't have, I mean, she's incredibly talented, but I didn't know how talented she was. There's a few scenes in particular, you know, I know spoilers abound, but sort of right after they're taken up by the police, when she sort of has the talk about motherhood with Constance Wu's character, I think she does an incredible job of conveying sort of hysterical emotion. I was kind of in the scene. Her performance, Oscar-worthy.
Yeah, Alex, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. Thanks very much for talking to us. And that connection, that kind of motherly connection between Constance Wu's character and Jennifer Lopez's character kind of gets established early. Here's a clip from Hustlers between Ramona, who's Jennifer Lopez's character, and Destiny, Constance Wu's character.
I was a centerfold once.
No way.
93.
No way. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Back when Stevie Wonder came in.
What the Stevie Wonder come to the club for?
Casey had him in the champagne room. Swears to God he isn't blind.
Wow. How come you're so good? I see you with every single kind of guy, and I don't know, it's like you have them all figured out.
I guess I'm just a people person.
Those were Ramona and Destiny, played by Jennifer Lopez and Constance Wu, respectively, in a scene from Hustlers. Beandria, what did you make of the characters in terms of the way that they were played? We heard Alex from Philly say that he was really impressed by kind of the depth of J-Lo's performance in particular. But you had a lot of different kinds of actresses in there, you know, Cardi B and Constance Wu and Lizzo and Jennifer Lopez, and they all kind of brought something different to their characters. What did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely one of the strengths of the movie. And I think the director-writer, Loreen Scafaria, was very aware of that and tried for a long time to get Cardi B on board. And the surprise cameo of Usher also was something she pursued.
That was kind of a knockout for me. I was like, oh, what? It's Usher. Okay, cool. 10 points. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's when I was like, okay, this is a different kind of movie. Like, this is when it sort of entered a new territory
right.
for me. And then that, if you remember, is kind of the last main scene at the club before it gets into the crime aspect. And yeah, I thought that the scene where Jennifer Lopez's character is teaching Constance Wu's character how to be a better dancer was quite illuminating. Cardi B was in that scene, and basically Constance Wu's character, Destiny, is dancing, giving a lap dance to Cardi B's character, and she's sort of like, you know, giving her a hard time, pushing her, and Jennifer Lopez is teaching her these moves, and it just kind of... It's something you don't necessarily think about, you know, especially if you were somebody who frequents the club. You just think, oh, they just, you know, walk out here and do this. It's not really a profession, you know, anybody could do it. But it really shows like the athleticism, the thought behind it, you know, and that it's work, you know, I mean, on its most basic level, it's people performing a service for money, you know, which is the basis of our economy. So,
right.
Yeah.
Professor Brooks, I'd be interested in your depiction of this profession. Of course, not asking you to speak for everyone in this line of work, but I wonder how accurate the film's depiction was from your point of view, the women, the work, their interactions, their relationships. How well did it do?
You know, I really thought the best part of the film was the dressing room scenes. That's where we get sort of the kind of real deal, if you will, where the women are being honest. I love that scene with Lizzo just sort of kicking back and taking off her shoes and talking about what she's going to do when she gets home, which is basically not being stilettos. You know, I liked that one of the dancers discussed how she was ostracized in her family. I think that was very real. And, you know, I really thought the tampon scene was like, when I saw that, I was like, wow. That is really radical, because I think just, you know, piggybacking off of what Beandra said, I think most people don't realize the amount of labor that goes into transforming someone's body into a work of fantasy, right? And so I felt like that scene, the tampon scene, and like other scenes of just sort of, you know, the amount of labor, how the women are transforming themselves, the deep relationships, the family connections. I felt all of those things were depicted really well in the dressing room scenes.
And Professor Brooks, just for those who have not seen the movie, the scene involves Jennifer Lopez's character cutting the string off a tampon and giving it to one of the younger dancers so it did not show when she danced.
Yes.
She kind of comes back from an interaction in tears, presumably because she's on her period. And so Jennifer Lopez's character gives her a tampon with the string cut off so that she can still care for herself without showing while she's dancing. What about stereotypes associated with strippers? Professor, did it deconstruct any of them, reinforce any of them, maybe a little bit of both?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a little bit of both. When I first heard about it, you know, I wasn't that enthusiastic because oftentimes these films do reinforce stereotypes of strippers. And so when I was sitting there, I was like, oh, they must have known I was coming, because I felt like they took every card that I would have critiqued, like in the first hour, and like addressed it. So I felt race in the very beginning. I liked how Destiny's character was racialized off the bat, because that felt very authentic with the Lucy Liu comment. I felt that there were times where, you know, I appreciate that it's a woman of color cast. I felt that as much as the film tried to debunk some stereotypes, it reinforced other stereotypes, right? So, for instance, in my book, I write about how women of color often navigate the stripping industry by sort of also performing race, right? So while they may not be white, if they can be white looking, that's obviously going to be an advantage. And I felt like J-Lo's character was sort of that stand-in, where it was interesting that she wasn't racialized in quite the same way Destiny obviously was, or even Cardi B. And then with Lizzo's character, I really wanted to see more of her. And I felt like that the film, again, attempted to be radical and show us that, you know, women of different body types strip. But then we only see Lizzo up until the dressing room scene, and then she disappears. So I felt there was a way that Black women, particularly larger Black women, still remained marginalized, even though we have this multiracial cast. And then the other thing, this is more towards the middle of it, you know, I liked how we had a sense of the labor conditions with the stage fees. You know, Destiny has money taken out of her check from the management, you know, and they're talking about that. And then, you know, the recession hits. And I felt like even though you see the women using the money that they're getting from the credit cards to support their families, I felt that it still reinforced sort of this conspicuous consumption, like, oh, if these women get money, this is what strippers do. They blow their money on hotels and frivolous things. And it kind of made them appear greedy, even though I know that while anybody could do that, I felt that was in line with some stereotypes of what people think strippers are like with money.
Let's get to another call, 855-236-1A1A in Hollywood. Anne-Marie is on the line, Hollywood, California. Anne-Marie, what did you think of Hustlers? How many stars out of five and why?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. What did you think of the movie?
Okay, great. Well, it's so funny. I actually called about the 85 law. I haven't seen the movie, but I have a lot of thoughts on this movie, as I'm a stripper. And I work in the stripper industry, and I'm working to unionize strippers in California. And, you know, we feel very strongly that this movie hurts strippers in a lot of ways, in that, number one, they shut down the clubs that they filmed at for a week and a half and didn't compensate any of the dancers there. And when the dancers tried to be extras in the movie, they denied them that as well. And furthermore, we're dealing with shadow banning, social media accounts being blocked and deleted of strippers and pole dancers while this movie is being promoted everywhere, all over the world, on social media and on television. So we feel like there's a lot of hypocrisy in that form. But I haven't seen the movie yet, but so far what I'm hearing, I'm interested in seeing it, because what I'm hearing is that it's not going to hurt the stigma of strippers, because that's kind of a concern, is that this would further perpetuate the stigma that we've already been fighting for decades.
I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A. Anne-Marie, you said you're involved in an effort to, was it to organize strippers, to unionize them? Elaborate on that.
Yes, sir. Yes. So the working conditions here in our strip clubs in Los Angeles are deplorable, and they've been getting worse and worse as time has gone on. And we've known about this law coming for a while, the rewriting of the labor laws. And we, my partner, Antonia Crane, and I, we work with Soldiers of Pole as our organization. And we're working on unionizing strippers. It's definitely an uphill battle. It's a lot of work. And, you know, we're fighting to have proper working rights. And currently, the employers of strip clubs here in Los Angeles are stealing money from dancers. And I heard that in the Hustler movie that they kind of show that a little bit. We pay enormous house fees to work. They're taking money from our paychecks. They take money from the dances. There's mandatory tip out, and there's constant wage theft happening. And furthermore, there's been a lack of security. Dancers have been feeling unsafe. You know, I could go on and on. How much time do you have about what's happening? And the only way that we're going to be able to get these rights back is if we come together, unify, work together, and demand our rights.
And just for those of you who are not familiar with AB5, what Anne-Marie is referring to is California Assembly Bill 5. It passed the legislature, and it would reclassify gig economy workers, like people who drive for Lyft and Uber, as employees rather than independent contractors. That's the law that Anne-Marie is referring to. Before I let you go, Anne-Marie, you say that you know, there's the skimming off the top in terms of the money that you make. How much are we talking about? A quarter? A half? How much?
Well, it kind of depends. It varies from club to club. I would say the majority of dancers are making anywhere between 30% and 50% of what they actually produce for their money. In some clubs, they're being forced to split their money three ways between the government, the house, and themselves.
So wait. So you could have 70% of what you take in taken from you before you walk out the door?
Yes, depending on where you're working. Yes.
Before I let you go, Anne-Marie, and I really appreciate you spending so much time with us and talking us through this, what do you get out of stripping? What made you decide to go into that business?
You know, it was empowering. I could make my own schedule. I could make a lot of money. I could freely express myself. The self-expression, the freedom you find in that is just incredible. And I met so many different types of people, and I learned about so many different types of things and formed lifelong relationships. And I think that the number one thing is having complete autonomy over my own body and not telling anybody what I can do with it. Like, no one could tell me what to do with it. That right there gave me so much confidence and so much power in myself. And that's why I loved it so much.
What's your exit strategy from stripping, Anne-Marie? What do you want to do next?
I'm currently not stripping. I stripped for 17 years. I own several small businesses, and I produce several events around the country.
Gotcha. Anne-Marie, I really appreciate you taking so much time to share your side of the story. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Professor Brooks, I wonder what your thoughts are on what we just heard from Anne-Marie.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Anne-Marie's comment, because I, you know, as someone who unionized, was part of a union movement with the Lusty Lady in the 90s, one of the things that disturbed me about the film was precisely what Anne-Marie was pointing to, which is, if you don't really know the inside story, you think that the real exploitation that these women experienced was the Wall Street crash. But what she's talking about, these are events that have been happening since the 1980s of strippers being charged stage fees and, you know, lack of health insurance and all of these labor violations. Basically, that's the real problem. But I think the film leads us to think that the managers of the club are at, you know, even though we show, you know, we're shown Destiny kind of, you know, looking at her paycheck, wondering why she had to pay all these fees out. And the way the film explained it away was that she was new, like somehow this is what the new girl has to go through. And I thought that was actually very dangerous, because it's what all strippers go through. And that predates the recession of 08. So I really appreciate that historical information being interjected in. And I think that's also part of the stereotyping, right? I mean, on the one hand, I appreciated the film because it did push back from some other things that we've seen about strippers in the past, like with the family relations, you know. But I think ultimately it does reinforce that these women are taking advantage of men and that they're greedy, as opposed to this larger narrative that we heard from Emery's response.
We'll continue our conversation in a moment. Stay close. Back now to our meeting of the Movie Club with John Horn, Beyondrea July, and Professor Siobhan Brooks. Let me get to a few more of your comments. Brian tweeted, "I loved the movie. So often women go into stripping, sex work, or movies with a reprieve that's dependent on men. Hustlers shows women taking control of a stereotypical situation. Maybe they have remorse, but overall, it's very powerful." Bianca tweeted, 5 stars out of 5. The soundtrack is fun. My BFF, who has worked in strip clubs, said it was pretty spot on. It was even drama mixed with laughter. We welcome some more of your reviews, 855-236-1A1A. John, I wanted to ask you about the production of the movie because the crew included a consultant who advised the film behind the scenes, kind of a stripping consultant named Jacqueline Francis. Here's part of what she told Variety in an interview about what she did on set.
What is a comfort consultant? It's a new title, and it's inspired by intimacy coordinator, which is what shows and films are starting to use to make sure everyone on set is feeling comfortable doing the work that they're doing. It was also like an authenticity consultant because it was really important to me in my involvement in this project that strippers were represented with compassion. There's this idea that strippers just have to show up and like be sexy according to what someone else thinks sexy is, and that's not really how stripping is. It's an expression of your own sexuality and people pay you for it.
That's Jacqueline Francis, who consulted on the film Hustlers. John, talk about the evolving ways that movie studios are dealing with highly sexualized roles. I mean, Constance Wu mentioned in a recent interview that she did not want to do nudity on screen, and the studio clearly honored that.
There are a couple things going on. One is kind of historically the way that Hollywood has, and I guess more accurately, has not dealt with nudity and performers feeling uncomfortable in a certain scene. It could be women, it could be men. And they have evolved as the Me Too movement has grown to make sure that people on set feel comfortable doing what they're asked to do. And that if they don't feel comfortable, they can put up their hand or talk to somebody like an intimacy consultant, which is a relatively new job, to make sure that everybody on set, especially the actor, feels that he or she is safe. The context, too, is what has happened in these kinds of movies in the past. And you can think about Showgirls, Striptease, other movies about strip clubs where there is the shot, and we talked about the dressing room, and the camera lingers on people in the background who aren't clothed. And yes, there's some fleeting nudity in Hustlers, but it's fleeting. And so you are then talking about historically how these scenes have been shot. And then on top of that, you have a woman director, Laureen Scafaria, based on an article written by a woman, Jessica Pressler. And if you start looking, producers, department heads, there are a lot of women working on this show. So they are approaching it in a very radical and new way than a male crew would look at it. And I think it's obvious from the way the women's bodies are shot. It's obvious from the fact that they had an intimacy consultant on set. And it feels like they are not doing what the men are doing when they come to the club, which is judging the women by their bodies. And I think that's a radical development for this movie because that it's turning the whole idea of what Hollywood and strip clubs have done in the past on its head and saying these women are powerful and they're just as capable as men and we're not going to judge them based on what they look like.
John, I should also, just to be fair, I mentioned that movie studios are kind of evolving in their views. We should also, to be fair, note that the Union for Film Producers has also pushed for this too. SAG-AFTRA, which is part of a merged union that includes the Screen Actors Guild, has also been active in trying to push more for performers to have a little more agency over how they're treated, especially with scenes that involve smoking, drug use, sex and sexuality. So it's kind of come from more than just the studio.
No, it has. And it's not just lead actors. It could be somebody who shows up as a, you know, a day player, and they get on set and they're told that they have to take off their clothes. I mean, there's an old joke in Hollywood. It's not nudity. It's HBO, that you would just show up and be expected to take your clothes off. And a lot of performers are saying no. And the danger for up and coming actors is like, well, if I say no, somebody else is going to take the job and then my career is going to be damaged. And all of those pressures are brought to bear on these performers. So the town, I won't say it's changing quickly, but it's moving in the right direction.
Beandria, let me zoom out a little bit and put this in some context with movies that have come before it. You know, there have been plenty of movies that have dealt with burlesque and strippers and exotic dancers. You know, one of Natalie Wood's most famous roles was Gypsy, the adaptation of the musical opposite Rosalind Russell. And 30 years after that, we had a movie called Striptease, which came out in 1996. Here is a quick clip of Striptease starring Demi Moore.
Your Honor, my ex-husband is a thief. That hardly qualifies him to raise a 7-year-old child.
Neither does being a mother without a job.
My lawyer told me this appeal is going to cost me $20,000. I mean, is there a shot in hell that I can make that in 6 weeks?
Erin Grant is desperate. And desperate times call for desperate measures.
Cream corn wrestling.
No chance that I am going to roll around naked in creamed corn with a bunch of drunken yahoos trying to stick niblets up my hoo-ha.
A clip from the trailer for Striptease. Beandria, things have certainly changed in the last 30 years, or have they?
Yeah, I mean, to John's point, I think it makes a huge difference who's behind the camera, who's the people not on screen making things happen. Jennifer Lopez was a producer on this movie. And, you know, I actually thought that the movie had more in common with 9 to 5, for example, the Dolly Parton, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin flick from the 80s that actually did really huge numbers for the time. It was one of those first movies that was helmed by women that did really well. And, you know, it's about working conditions, as Professor Brooks has said, as Anne-Marie said. That was the biggest surprise for me, is I had no idea that so much of the heart of the movie would be about the working condition and seeing these women as mothers taking care of families. I think Scafari has sort of left the door open for a whole other set of movies to come of how we can address this. And I think that Professor Brooks's comments speak to how more movies could be made from a bunch of different angles that this didn't have the opportunity to hit upon.
Yeah, Professor Brooks, it occurs to me that there's also been, in addition to Striptease, there were two more movies in the not so distant past that were about stripping that were fairly successful, which were Magic Mike and Magic Mike XXL and The Full Monty, which were very successful. But it seems like when it's a movie about guys stripping, it has to be a comedy. When it's a movie about women stripping, it is either a comedy of she did what she had to do, or there's a morality tale around it.
Right. Yes. And I think that's a good point. And I think that is what I did appreciate about Hustlers, even though I have my critiques. You know, you do see aspects it's a drama too, right? Like it's you know, and I think in terms of morality, that's interesting. Sort of, it leaves it up to the audience, like, you know, were these women wrong? Or, you know, you see the circumstances that led them to, you know, be part of this heist. And I think the focus on that versus just the fact that they were stripping per se, I appreciated that the moral focus wasn't on that. Though it was interesting that it was on other things, though, right? Like, kind of back to sort of like, you know, our conversation about labor laws, there was that scene of the film where they were talking about, oh, well, you know, the Russian girls are bringing down the prices by, you know, performing oral sex on the customers. So, you know, you do see even within that sort of this moral line being drawn at that, which I thought was interesting and, you know, kind of implies some, you know, things that we think about immigrants in general, kind of like, you know, at jobs bringing down prices for people and all of this. But yeah, I agree. I think that even the working conditions for male strippers are different than women strippers, right? Like often they don't pay stage fees. Often it's sort of, you know, maybe it's an addendum when they're in a club, you know, like a gay club or something like that. So I think that's a good point, looking at the gender differences of how stripping is even perceived.
Let me see if we can squeeze in another quick call. 855-236-1A1A. In Tallahassee, Florida, Bryce is on the line. Hey, Bryce, what did you think of the movie?
It hit on a lot of great parts, but I just realized that every club is different. I've managed three different strip clubs in three different cities. And going back to that whole thing that Anne-Marie was saying about, I think that was her name.
Yes, Anne-Marie.
70% of their wages. Yeah, 70% of the wages. It also depends on the club, because the one that I ran in Key West, it was a $10 house. That was it. You just pay $10, didn't matter what day, what time. It was $10. So they walked out with most of their money that wasn't taxed in hand.
Well, I think Anne-Marie said that she saw a variety where some women would walk out with between 30 and 50% of what they made.
Correct. But there's also the women that don't try hard to make money. And then there's the ones that try hard to make money. And, of course, you know, it all goes from there. But we also, in Fort Myers, we had, speaking of the male strip clubs, we had a male review once every 6 months where we had male dancers. And all of the proceeds, that the cover charges and all that, went to a charity organization. But the guys got to keep the money they made on the stage. So it was...
So the male strippers I just want to make sure we're clear, Bryce. The male strippers performed for charity and kept all their money. The female strippers paid out, but not as much as 70%.
Right. But we only did the male review once every 6 months, and it was for a charity. That was the whole purpose of it. So we didn't, on a regular basis, have male strippers.
Could you envision...
When we did, they got to...
Could you envision women performing for a charity?
Yeah, we've done that one also. We actually, the guys that I worked for that own multiple clubs on the East Coast, they actually have an all-male strip club, and they have females that come out, and they do a female review, and they do amateur stuff, and that is always for charity, and we're trying to boost it, actually, to every 3 months. And then you get to keep what you make on stage, but everything else, the drinks, everything goes to the charity, and we charge them at the male strip club that we have. We charge the exact same amount for them as we do the females. Even though they need less stuff, they don't need as much hair products and things like that, because our clubs provide that for the women as their house fee.
Bryce, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for talking to us. I'm Joshua Johnson, learning something new every day, and you're listening to 1A. Professor Brooks, what about that? The economics of men on stage versus women on stage. I particularly noted that last comment, and I'm sorry I didn't have time to let Bryce keep going, but in terms of guys being able to perform for charity, needing less money for hair care products, et cetera.
I think that, and you know, I appreciate him, you know, chiming in, because I think that underscores what I remember in the industry and interviewing, you know, men and women who are in the industry. I think like any job, right? I think when men are in jobs that are deemed, quote unquote, women's jobs, they're not exploited, right, in the same way. I mean, you know, we see this with nursing, we see this with teaching, you know, men in, quote unquote, women jobs are paid more than women doing the same job. So to me, that's in line with that kind of thing. And then also, I think safety is different. You know, I think that depending on where men are dancing, you know, there's just not the same level of exploitation or fear or objectification that often women go through. And so I think that explains also what you brought up earlier about when we do see movies about male stripping. It's a comedy, right? Because it's still seen as, well, this is largely women's work.
Nancy emailed, "This movie does very well in telling these women's stories without glorifying what they did. Why do some people feel that this movie needed to drill down on how not okay what they did was, as some other reviewers have mentioned? How many countless movies do we have about mobsters, gamblers, criminals that are centered around male antiheroes where we don't ask these questions?" John, I know we're winding down, but I love that comment. You know, like I said, Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies. And there have been a number of like gangster and heist and bad guy movies over the years where it just feels kind of like a ride that you're going on as opposed to this morality tale.
It didn't feel like Hustlers was going to hit that note too hard. And I think that's what I like most about the movie. I went back and read a passage from the article that it's based on. And Samantha is the character that Jennifer Lopez is playing. And this is what the article says. If they'd done anything wrong, and she didn't think they had, it was nothing compared to the stuff men got away with on a regular basis. And yet they were looking at 3 years in jail. It was outrageous. What about the things the guys did, Samantha fumed? What about Bill Cosby? That, I think, is missing from the film, and I think that's a good thing, that you can judge these people's behavior. You don't have to try to fit it into a larger narrative. But I will leave you with one thing. There's a scene in the movie where a girl does something she's not proud of, a woman does something she's not proud of, and she's paid what she thinks is $300. And she finishes, she picks up the money, and it's three $20 bills. I was in a theater over the weekend, and there were two men who were laughing at that. Like, yeah, she got what she deserved. So you think about, you know, what this movie's talking about and where we are as a country and where we are in terms of how we look at the opposite sex. We got a long way to go.
John Horn, the vice president of the 1A Movie Club and the host of The Frame on KPCC Los Angeles. John, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beyondria July, a freelance culture writer and film critic. Thanks, Beyondria.
Thanks so much.
And Siobhan Brooks, a sociologist, professor of African American Studies at Cal State Fullerton, and the author of Unequal Desires, Race and Erotic Capital in the Stripping Industry. Professor Brooks, we really appreciate your time and your insights. Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember, you can connect with us via text message. Text 1A, the number 1, the letter A, to 63735 to join our network. We'll send you no more than one text each weekday. Again, to join, text the number 1, the letter A, to 63735. Today's conversation was produced by Catherine Fink. You can learn more about our team at the1a.org/staff. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Joshua Johnson. This is 1A.